Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on, I can't believe it, it's Friday the 13th, but who cares? What it really is Valentine's Day Eve and the eve of Statehood Day. We're the Valentine State here in Arizona, February 13, 2026. Hope everybody's had a great week. I've had a really busy week doing a couple of fun podcasts that I've been doing, one with Bon Voyage Travel, and then we did fun learning about gardening. Jan Lesher's here, Pima County Administrator. I did my Green Things monthly podcast, and so I'm learning when to trim the roses.
I can tell you how to kill them. That's my skill set.
Anyway, Bill Buckmaster here with Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios in the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. It's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. Welcome to our weekly edition of the show. We're here each Friday, noon to 1, as we continue with the Buckmaster Show tradition that began 15 years ago. We have our worldwide listening podcast of the show on the newly redesigned website. I'm really proud of it, buckmastershow.com. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. And Dan, a new element to the newly designed website is the travel blog.
Yeah, absolutely. And love it. And I thought to myself, you should have done that a long time ago.
You should have. I know. Yeah. I know. And we put up some great photos from our trip to Palm Springs, and it's a good read. I hope everybody will check it out. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our media partners, Dan Scheer's gang at the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sundan. Dan, thanks for your support, not only for 15-plus years on the radio, but about almost 20 years on my time over at Channel 6.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Also, thanks to Dylan Smith and his team, Jim Ninsel, TucsonSentinel.com. Jan Lesher is with us. Boy, we've been really on top of everything, Jan. We had Chad Kazmar, the police chief, Friday on the show, and he had just made the announcement the day before that he is leaving as police chief. In fact, you were over at his little going away party today, is his last official day at the Tucson Police Department, and then he comes over after, I think he's going to take like a whole week to relax before
he thinks that,
and he's going to be one of your three assistant county administrators. And when the chief was here last week, he was saying, "Gosh, Jan has given me all these responsibilities." That, well, what do you mean? Then he starts listing. I mean, he's got this, and he's in charge of the motor pool. I mean,
all the fleet service, buying cars,
is a huge deal.
It's a huge deal. Absolutely.
There's a buying line. Cars.
Yes, we have a lot of them.
Fueling them up. Yeah, right. But I mean, you've got three folks that are kind of behind the scenes.
Well, yes and no, and I'll just...
For the public, anyway.
Yeah, for the public, perhaps,
The chief will be pretty visible because he's the chief, or former chief.
Well, and I'll tell you, Bill, we have three deputy county administrators, or will when Chad joins us, and if people have not had an opportunity to work with him, we welcome you. Happy to introduce you to folks. Carmine DeBonis Jr. came to Pima County out of college, so he's been with us for 35 years. And he was the director of our Department of Development Services when we really turned that department around a while back and made it, I think, very responsive to the development community and able to get things going. He oversees a lot of our public works infrastructure departments, transportation, flood control, wastewater, you know, things like that. Steve Holmes is a deputy county administrator. We brought him over about 4 years ago. He was the superintendent of the Sunnyside School District. Mm-hmm. So again, we looked at, worked for a 5-member board, had a lot of the same kinds of departments, a lot of responsibility with the community, knows everybody in town, it seems. And then we had an opening that we've had for about a year. Many people remember Dr. Francisco Garcia, who was our third deputy, who had a wonderful opportunity to join the U of A, and he did that. Mm-hmm. And so now we have former police chief Chad Kazmar joining us. Mm-hmm. And much like Steve, I think these are two individuals who are just very good manager, and Carmine, the three extraordinary managers and exceptional leaders We can teach him some of the little business. He's not coming over to be a police chief. He's right. coming over to manage people.
Yeah.
Same way we've been able to use Steve. So as I retire, I'll tell you, with those three sitting there, and our board is going to do a search, so it may end up being somebody from out of town, but
on the surface, it kind of looks like the timing was, because you announced Tuesday
that you're going to wrap
it up. I mean, you're going to wrap up at the end of this year being the county administrator, but Chad's announcement last week made it sound like he is the heir apparent.
Correct. And that, I don't have an heir apparent, I'll tell you, and I don't think the board does right now. And to be honest, for me, it would be a Sophie's choice. I can't imagine. I think each of those three gentlemen have amazing skills, and any other one could do it tomorrow. And I'll just tell you what is exceptional to me and what is so wonderful. I've worked a lot of places. The team environment with that group is the strongest I've ever seen in any place I've worked. That there's no, you know, nobody withholds information. There's no backstabbing. It's just the most collaborative team, and those three gentlemen will continue to bring that. So,
let's bring in Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, editorial director for about three dozen newspapers in 13 states, owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communication, and you guys are always looking at, I guess, buying and selling small papers.
We are.
I don't know.
And recently named the editor of the Nogales International.
Oh, that's right.
And so I'm up and down I-19 a lot. Yeah. And they pay me mileage. So
you got a call in the middle of the night. Suddenly your area was the ground zero for the Guthrie disappearance.
Right.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in
absolutely.
The show. But
yeah, we'll get into and people are always curious, Bill, how we do our job.
Yeah.
What happens when you get the call or you suspect it's going to come? And that's when your sources are important and reaching out to people.
Yeah, so. And Jan's been in town forever. She's been here, and so have I, nearly 40 years. And Jan, I think this is one of the biggest, in my nearly 40 years, the spotlight on Tucson. Of course, the horrible tragedy with the Gabby Giffords assassination attempt drew a lot of national and some not really international. This, because of the celebrity nature of it, has drawn a lot of international media over the 2 weeks to this town. Dan and Jan, some people have said to me, Bill, when is the media going to leave? Well, they may start to leave a little bit, but what's driving this? Why are they still here? Well, Dan and Jan, there are three words, ratings and money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the ratings, the cable ratings have gone up about 20 to 25%. And that is also the case for the Today Show's ratings skyrocketing. So, you know.
And then like we do in the media, we often just saturate people with information. And I'll tell you, we were talking a little bit off air, but she went missing on a Sunday. I was contacted on Monday by Fox News, the national folk, and said, hey, can you go on the air?
Right.
I don't know anything. I know as much as you do. Yeah. And so if you just need a talking head, I suppose anybody can do that. But I'm not going to go on unless I have something to offer. But they were grasping early on for absolutely anything. We weren't even sure at that point it was an abduction, but they wanted something. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I feared they wanted to politicize it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it's this crime in this blue county.
Right.
And I thought, okay, just turn and run away from this one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Dan, getting back to the heir apparent for Jan Lesher.
And we've worked with them all, and I will tell you, you do have a good team.
They're a great team.
And you can tell when you call them up and ask them the most arcane question, and they actually are familiar with it.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I'll get right back to you. So we do appreciate that, and we'll see you know, where the next person comes through. But my guess is that person may have to deal with the fallout with an RTA next election, March 10th. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, more and more people are just turning a jaundiced eye, and they're saying, not going to vote for it. What does your gut tell you?
I am not optimistic. I hate to say that, but I'll do it because I chair the technical management committee for RTA, and a lot of time has gone into this. And but I, like you, I think it probably has less to do with how we want to fix roads in this community, and a lot more to trust in government and expenditure of dollars and the economy and things. And that's been a tough sell. And now what we do next, I don't know. But I think trying to really get just good information and help people understand. You know, it's if I were on the receiving end, which actually I was, of that great big book, and of that publicity pamphlet.
I think that's kind of hurt the yes on RTA Next.
Well, and it
hurts
government.
Because people have been saying, look, this is such a waste, but you guys were mandated
we
to
have
put
to
this
do
out.
It is a statute.
And both languages. Yes,
in both languages.
Yes.
But you're right. When people say, look, this is just an example of
waste
in government, we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things maybe we need to look at working with our legislature, how we get information out. Maybe you could opt in or opt out.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're providing you know, drop boxes and such, but again,
if it fails in March, you can bring it back in November.
Yes.
And if has there been any talk about okay, if we have to bring it back in November, here's what will change?
No. There has been conversation about well, I guess the other side of that coin, Dan. Yes, I have heard people say if it comes back. We can't do the same thing. So I think that implies that, yes, we got to do something different. But I think there's just everybody's got some experience that maybe was not positive in their mind from RTA. Rather than looking at all the roads that are out there and such. Yeah. People I talk with in the core of Tucson say that RTA brought sprawl. People have indicated that they think RTA does not have an equitable voting situation, and I tell people, think of it like the Senate. It's not the House of Representatives, it's the Senate. Everybody gets the same amount. But that's it. This is designed to be a regional transportation plan. It is not a bucket of money to be divided on an absolute proportional basis to each community. It's to provide a regional plan that benefits folks from the entire valley. And I think there may be some confusion about that, perhaps.
Well, for what it's worth, let me tell you the two reasons people are telling me.
Okay.
Number one is that they're a little upset that Tucson still has free transportation up there. And it's kind of like if Tucson's serious about it, and they would get the bulk of the money, and which we completely understand, they better start charging people to use that because they're in budget trouble right now, and that's got to be part of the reason.
Okay.
The other one is just an uncertain economy, and the guy in the White House is really good at making us feel like we're living on shifting sand.
Yes.
And so people tend to pull back. In 2024, Sarita had a $66 million bond that everybody, all the polling said it was going to sail through, and it was crushed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because it was necessarily a bad plan. It was because people said, this is one thing I can control in my pocketbook. I'm going to say no.
I think you're right. Yeah, and they do have the ability to control when other things
Absolutely.
Are out of their abilities. And again, I look back, Pima County used to go out for bonds every couple of years just to retool infrastructure. And 97, 2004, 2006. And then after the recession, we have not been successful. We had one bond election in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
There was $22 million for puppies and kittens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we, you know, jeepers if you can't get that, you know, but people saw we could identify a very specific need and a rather small amount of money to fix that or address that concern. It wasn't just sort of a broad brush approach. And that's it. I think if you're frustrated about other things, you can vote no on this.
So if how would it come back if this sunsets or ends in May?
There's still a little window of time for the tax. But
okay.
And even the reason I think RTA wanted to go now was so that it didn't sunset. And we can absolutely indicate that the taxes won't go up. They'll simply stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
We can go back and get another, ask the voters again later.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be a little window of opportunity of time when the tax did go away before it came back.
In all the discussions of this, and we'll get to a potential 2027 bond in the county, has there been a lot of talk about 2015, which is when $816 million just went down? And I think today, even 10 years later, people are still shocked about it.
Well, because we've been talking about bonds at the county, I've been spending a lot of time looking at where we went in the past. And that, to me, was just that. I think the theory for the county was that there was something for everyone to like.
Mm-hmm.
And it got so big that it became something for everyone to hate.
Yeah.
You know, that it was just, you know, for whatever little piece. But I think it was that, you know, when I mentioned the bond advisory committee was meeting and it met regularly and it was ready to go out again. And then with the recession, we stopped the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a decade almost where everyone had another idea of what they could add on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that window of opportunity allowed for that the Christmas treeing of additional items and elements.
Well, an interesting postscript to the 2015 bond is about 2 weeks ago, my reporter George Encinas did a story about projects in our area that got tanked 10 years ago and whatever happened to those. And so things like the food bank and the library and certain things like that, the important stuff tends to find a way. Some of it was county support, but it wasn't through bonds.
Right.
And so the important stuff did end up being built. Sarita built its own splash pad,
right?
That type. So it took a while, but bonds also can take a while too to actually get the money. So in the end, the important stuff really did get done, and the other stuff is either going to be piecemeal or people just didn't care.
Let's talk about some important stuff.
Yep.
El Cisne is one of our wonderful new sponsors, Dan and Jan. El Cisne, are you familiar with it?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Jan, have you been up there for a wonderful Mexican meal?
I have not.
El Cisne is at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Beautiful, multicultural, fine dining. Many regions of Mexico are profiled on that lovely menu that they have. Check it out. They do a wonderful job. It's casual dining. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open daily for lunch and dinner for our little New Year's Eve afternoon party that we put together. We had El Cisne cater at Jan, and they did a beautiful job.
Good.
Everybody was saying this Mexican food is outstanding. So check it out, El Cisne, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We're delighted to have them as one of the new sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show. And Jan and Dan, I'm so proud of the fact that when I announced that we would be doing the weekly show, all of the sponsors, with one or two exceptions, said, count me in.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was gratifying.
I want to add on, El Cisne, that if you're down in Sarita, Green Valley, worth the drive.
Yes.
Worth the drive.
Okay.
It very much is. And Phil Ferrante is a former golf pro who owns El Cisne, and we try to stop and have a meal there at least once a month. It's so convenient for those of us in the foothills. So check it out. We'll take a break right here. More with Jan Lesher and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Be sure your voice is heard as part of the March 10th mail-in elections on Props 418 and 410 for regional transportation improvements and funding for the next 20 years. Check your mailbox for your ballot. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. You will continue to pay the same tax rate as you do now if both props are approved. Don't forget to mail your ballot by March 3rd to arrive by March 10th and be heard. Learn more at rtanext.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Brendan Kraft on the other side of the glass. This young man always comes up with some great bump music in between segments. It is Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We continue the tradition of the radio show, started with a daily show 15 years ago. We're now weekly, and I'm enjoying it. I've got some great guests. We've got Adelita Grijalva lined up for next Friday. Jan Lesher is here. Very timely to have Ms. Lesher on the program. Jan started working a million years ago. What was your first job?
I was 15, and I worked at
here
the
Baskin. Yeah,
yeah, I was at the Baskin Robbins right over by Himmel Park.
Of course.
Bill, ask me what my first job was.
What was your first job?
I was 15 at Baskin Robbins in
Mesa. In Mesa. Okay, that was you. Okay, that's right.
Oh my gosh. You two are former Baskin Robbins employees, yes. Part of the Yum family or whoever owns that now.
Yeah.
I think they're part
of
that conglomerate.
Ever since.
So you've been working a long time, and you announced that this week on Tuesday you notified the board that at the end of this calendar year, you will pass the baton on to someone new to be the county administrator. But other than the ice cream job, what was kind of, so you've been working a long time, right?
Stop saying long time like that, Bill.
Really great jobs. You worked for governor, then Governor Napolitano.
Sure.
You worked as like, you were really high up in the
so lucky. Yeah.
The federal government.
Mm-hmm.
With
security. Homeland Security.
Homeland Security. Homeland Security really, I don't want to say it was in its infancy when you were there, but it was still a rather new agency, which came out of 9/11.
She was the third secretary. Secretary Napolitano.
Yeah.
Tom Ridge and then Michael Chertoff. Mm-hmm. And Secretary Napolitano. And Bill, you're right. I'm 70. I started at 15, and I'm one of those really lucky
70,
people.
That's pretty young.
And you're
if you follow the Bill Buckmaster model of... I told Dan Scheer, you were one of the first calls I made in November. I said, Dan, I think I'm hanging it up. And he said, that's impossible.
It was a very short retirement.
Yes. But you'll probably do other stuff.
I've been really lucky. And I've had a job since I was 15,
mm-hmm,
and that not everyone has been so fortunate. So I appreciate it. But there's two sides of the coin. One is about me, mm-hmm, obviously, and mm-hmm, wanting to figure at 70, I've got maybe 10 years of good health and time to go do some fun things.
Knock on.
Yep. The other piece relates to the way we do things at the county. And historically, the county administrator's contract's a 4-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is the Board of Supervisors comes together, they get elected, and they come to their first meeting, and they get sworn in, and they elect officers, and then they deal with the county administrator's contract.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hope to do, and I think this board understands it so well, getting off cycle, if you will, mm-hmm, that by hitting it at the midpoint,
mm-hmm,
the board can actually spend time regularly evaluating and having that conversation that most organizations have with any CEO.
Mm.
What's our goals for the year? What's the vision for the year? How do we look at performance metrics? And I think this gives the board and the CEO a chance to sit and have those conversations, which is difficult to have when it's your very first meeting on the board. I think we saw that in 2020. Our board didn't turn over very much. I mean, the term for a board chair was 4 years.
Yeah.
Because there was very little turnover. And then in November of 2020, we had 3 new board members elected. And then they walked in and got to deal with the contract. So this is the right time for a variety of reasons for me, I think, and for the governance structure.
And you govern how many or oversee how many employees and a budget of what?
We're at about a $1.8 billion budget right
now.
That's
huge.
It is, and we are about 7,300 employees.
Hmm. And I think Which is down historically.
It's down for a couple of reasons. One, as happens in some of these big groups, we had a lot of vacant positions. And vacant positions become a good way to kind of keep a little contingency in each department. If you fund another several hundred employees that aren't actually there, you end up with a pretty good cushion. So we have completely restructured the way we deal with vacancies, they get eliminated at a certain point unless I approve it continuing. So we don't have those kinds of vacancies anymore. And for us, and you look at the last several years, maybe 5-6 years, we had about $150 million in recovery money. And then we had about $350 million in CARES Act or funds related to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So $500 million in what I really think of as one-time money.
Yeah.
But that's a lot coming into an organization. And obviously, as the public health entity, we dealt with vaccine and testing and all those things that occurred during COVID. But anytime there's a grant and people get hired that way, it is a hard reminder when the grants end and when the money ends. So we've been sort of watching over the last couple of years to make sure that what we used to call, you know, the COVID cliff, you know, that money's ending and what's the cliff? Well, we didn't, fortunately for us, we saw that coming. You know, we didn't step blindly into the precipice, if you will. We knew it was coming and we're able to start planning slowly and moving towards that. But however you slice it, we're coming out of another $500 million. And then most of it spent on the cause, but we also have another $150 million in the last 5 years or so that we received in order to assist with the program with legal asylum seekers. So a lot of money in one-time money that we are we're making sure that that was not an addiction. We can move along.
Here's Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, Saharita Sun.
So
Dan,
apropos of that, the county is hosting a really big job fair next week, and along with some other government entities, schools, and fire and whatever. So what are you looking for?
Jeepers, we're looking across the board.
Everything.
You know, it is. And I think what's a great advantage when we started really tracking our vacancy rate about 3.5 years ago, and we were over 20%, and now we're under 10. So we went through a classification compensation analysis. We've done some great things, but it's across the board. So the wonderful, you know, if you're a nurse, if you are a plumber, you're an attorney, your administrative assistant, if you have a pet, your animal care, another great example. If you have a passion, we've got a way to hook you in. Or the examples we've got with some of our new deputy county administrators, it might not look initially like a fit, but if you're a hard worker, you know, with some motivation and self-drive,
work with people.
You got it. We will welcome you.
Mm-hmm. Dan, want to switch gears here to talk a little bit about the horrible situation with the Guthrie disappearance. Sort of has pushed aside all the ICE talk in the community. The board this week, Jan Lesher, did take some kind of anti-ICE actions. Could you summarize what can Pima County do and what can't it do when it comes to federal officers?
We're working through that a little
masked
bit right now.
Officers,
yes, right,
in our community.
And that's
what you noticed, or do you hear, are there the level of ICE staffing, and they're all leaving Minnesota? Are they coming to Tucson or what?
We've not seen that yet.
Okay.
But we began last summer making sure employees and all of our folks knew what to do if people came onto a facility. There's two areas that our board's looking at, Bill, and we are coming back at our next board meeting next Tuesday with drafts. One, to not allow ICE to congregate and to prepare missions and such on county-owned property. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to keep ICE off of the county-owned property.
You have legal standing on that?
That's what we're reviewing that now. What are the different options available? Mm-hmm. And the other is, if it's not a no-masking, or some sort of identification, so that any of our law enforcement, this has been targeted at ICE, but to make sure that anyone who's coming on to deal with either the public or our employees in county property is identified in some way and not masked and invisible, so people know.
And again, I wonder about, you know, legal jurisdiction there.
That's what we're looking at, and our county attorneys are walking through helping us design policies or resolutions that both meet the need of the board, ensure public safety, and again, the federal government does have some rights in this, and we're balancing what we can do on our land and with our employees and our buildings, in addition to keeping community safe.
What about the very real concerns that some of these ICE agents have of being identified and then their families being targeted or them being targeted? I mean, it's real. It's already happened to some of them, and it sounds like the county took this step maybe before fully exploring, as you just point out, whether they really can. And what about their safety?
Dan, that's such a real concern, and I see it more and more. We've talked about not just with our ICE agents, but with people in the public eye. You know, I think it's doxing, I believe,
absolutely,
is what people are chatting about now. And, you know, I think about I knew I'd gotten the job as county administrator because I began to receive comments through Facebook or social media that were not my fan club. And so I think, you know, it is real, no matter who you are. We've received, as we're chatting, you know, off a moment ago about, we're all getting emails and messages from people who have opinions about the Nancy Guthrie situation.
And how the sheriff is handled and how he is represented on an international stage, Pima County.
Yeah, true. And then, but I look at our election workers, our health workers, people out, you know, in the public. We have concerns every day. We have, I was looking at video the other day of one of our transportation workers who was out in a working on a street, and then at the end of the work was using an air blower to clean off a sidewalk, and some of that dirt was going onto property, and the person came out and was having a very unpleasant exchange. I saw a video on social media the other day where a gentleman was standing doing his own little television show with a gun in his pants for all to see, and showing a grave that had been dug, saying, come on out again and just let me know your name. So that's, you're right, I worry about it for our ICE agencies, but Dan, I worry about it for all of our county employees these days. It's a difficult environment, and I'm sure for you all in the media, it's it's the same situation.
If we can move on to something, a couple weeks ago, you wrote a memo, and I was floored by it because you were suggesting what now is potentially going to be a 2027 bond request. You had you did a very good job of explaining that the shift to pay go and how that's really not quite covering everything.
Pay as you go.
Right. Yeah. And so you did a good job with that, but I still, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking you're insane.
Because, I get that a lot too. Well,
try being a newspaper editor. And so how is the March 10th election and RTA next going to, you think, possibly direct a 2027 bond? In other words, I think we're going to find out if people have an appetite for this. And we don't even know how much the bond is. And we're not supposed to know at this point to the folks at home. We don't know how much it is, what it's going to go for exactly, whatever. But you're simply saying that we can't continue as we are. Is that accurate?
That is it, Dan. And I think what I'm saying, what we were looking at is the county has relied on bond, on the voters to approve bond issues for decades, and we have not been successful in recent years, and I think it's time. That means that critical infrastructure, I think of $100 million was the price tag for our Pima County Wireless Integrated Network. That would have been difficult to fund out of just the general fund. There are things like that that I think what we need to focus on as a county is what are those things we need versus the things we want. And I think we were historically looking for more of the things we want. I look at what may be now a $40 million upgrade to our wireless integrated network, which allows law enforcement and related organizations across the valley to communicate. And it's critical. It's expensive. Roads, wastewater, and then libraries and parks, lighting in the parks. There are things that are critical. And I think what we're looking to do, and the reason I wanted to lay it out for 27, is to get some runway here, let the board adopt a bond advisory committee, which by county code includes representatives from every jurisdiction, including Sarita and the area, and then the board members appoint folk. They begin to look at what the community need is and to come back to the board with a package.
Well, like you said, it was everything but the kitchen sink in 2015. It really just spun out of control. But of those seven questions in 2015 on the ballot, the one that came the closest to almost making it was flood control. And that's kind of boring but important stuff, as we say. And you just mentioned some boring but important stuff. So I think the voter does, even in a year when there was this huge backlash, understand that, yeah, some of this stuff does need to get done. Or you got to kind of banking on that?
That's what we're going to need to see. And when we start having this bond advisory committee gather and talk to the public, you know, what is it you're seeing you're needing? My hope is that RTA passes and we're not having to allocate funds from a bond into roads and transportation. But I look back at the 97 bond, when we did bonds that year, it's hard to believe, we went out twice. You know, I was not with the county at the time, but in May, we did about $350 million in general obligation bonds, went back in November for transportation and HERF bonds. Another, we had over $700 million in 97 in two elections, but they went out and asked for specific need As people see critical infrastructure.
Well, I think if you stay away from asking for a velodrome, you might be in good shape.
Well, and I'll hear from all of these folks later, but the
that got built too.
That's right, yeah. And the airplane.
Remote control.
That's right, and so not everyone saw that as critical news.
All right, segment three is coming up. Traditionally, that's my media co-host and I chatting, but I'm actually going to keep Jan Lesher over for segment three. You didn't know you're going to be doing three segments, but you just,
the office is hearing.
Yeah, you just you just learned that you will be here for another 10-minute segment. Right. So let's take the break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things, Zilcolo Village Studio, and I want to say that our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dan and Jan. When we continue after this.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and even though the bump music says silent running, we are not silent here on the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer is here, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Jan Lesher, the outgoing, she's outgoing, Pima County Administrator. That has double meaning because she's actually going to be leaving as the administrator at the end of this calendar year, and she made that announcement at the board on Tuesday, but board members weren't shocked.
I think I was just trying to make sure that there was no question and let everybody move on.
Official. Yep. Okay, Dan, the Guthrie disappearance, so many people in this community, including Jan Lesher and myself, Jan and I did. I remember one over at Channel 6, Jan and Savannah and myself did some membership breaks that went, probably did 10 of them on TV. That went past midnight. But I mean, I was privileged to mentor Savannah for 4 years on my show, Arizona Illustrated. Boy, you just knew right off the bat this woman had what it takes. But it's so personal for all of us, for many of us, let's put it that way. And it's personal for our community. We had the sheriff in his first news conference kind of made it personal for the Pima County Board of Supervisors when he said that he had just tried to get a certain amount of resources, law enforcement resources from the board, and that was denied. But he pretty much gets what he wants for his resources, or how would you care? When you heard that, I'm sure you were going, whoa.
Caught my attention.
Yeah, yeah, caught your attention.
I think, do they
have what they need, basically, or what?
Oh, I think any department would rather have more.
Yeah.
But what we try to balance at any point is the challenge of, I will say, we have some of our board members are not great fans of our sheriff at this point, yeah. But the balance is you can't, the sheriff's department is made up of men and women who either work there or are there not on a voluntary basis at the jail. To cut his budget significantly is to impact those corrections officers and the deputies on the streets and the cars they drive. Mm-hmm. So the board is always, you know, looking at that balance. The contract that recently came up was an extension of a contract.
Right.
So those services are currently in place. The challenge you've got in county government, I think, is to look at the city of Tucson. The mayor and council appoint the police chief and their city attorney and their clerk. And it's a different world at the county when they're all independently elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right.
And so my position as the administrator is that those elected officials have a right to, you know, they rule their own kingdoms within the guidelines and the framework established by the board. And that's generally the budget. So I think our sheriff would like more individuals in those positions, but we are always balancing anytime his increase either comes at the back of another department, again, that we might need, or increasing property tax. And that's also something we balance carefully.
All right, Dan Scheer, you were brought in on a news point of view from when the center of the story, the Guthrie disappearance, shifted to Rio Rico.
Right, and I went down there. And I'll tell you,
how'd that all come about?
Well, so there was a traffic stop on I-19, we assume, and it was a man who was in the passenger seat. His wife was driving. They were out doing DoorDash, and he, as a living, delivers packages, often up in Tucson. Yep, he might have delivered one to her home, and they pinged on his phone, and one thing led to another, and they end up taking him. And so his detaining him, not arresting him, and he was there for about 8 hours. And it's really interesting what you learn, Bill, because I don't do a lot of personal social media, almost zero, by the way.
But you follow me, and so
I follow
everyone.
You know,
yeah, we all
go to my Facebook page. I have one friend. It's Bill Buckmaster.
All right.
Absolutely, it is.
Right. I'm going to your Facebook page.
There we go. So, but what do we learn? We learn that social media gives everybody a really big megaphone, and that's too bad. Yeah. I heard that. Nancy Guthrie is being taken by helicopter to a hospital. I heard that was an illegal immigrant. I heard the families involved. I heard, you know, and I'm thinking,
it was everywhere. It was on Facebook.
Absolutely.
That night, and I was thinking about you. Oh my gosh.
And I just, so I'm thinking, oh boy, right now they're saying south of Tucson.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's Yuma, brace yourself. So I started making phone calls and found out from the sheriff down in Santa Cruz County that it was Rio Rico. And so we got someone over there because you have to, and just started following that story. I went down there the next day, went to the guy's house, you know, the whole bit, because we have to, and there was still a gaggle of people out there, and the house had been searched and his two vehicles and the whole bit, and then you have
and
to kind of
take
that.
And he was very open about going in front of the international media and saying, hey, I'm not the guy.
Exactly. He got to that point.
Did he do the right thing, you think, by doing that?
Well, you know, he kind of got used to it, because by the time I got there, he was saying, it's not me, please go away.
Yeah.
And then he starts warming up. He's getting a little more, and by the way, he looks better. He has a haircut, and he's like, you know, got fresh clothes on, and I'm thinking, okay. But you know what? It was his 15 minutes. It was awful. But I will tell you this. The people in Rio Rico have rallied around him and said, you know, next time he door dashes at your house, give him an extra tip, because he's been through it.
Yeah.
And so, but it's just one of those things that we, as members of the media, have to go after. But as you and I both know, Bill, there's some people just beat it to death.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's too bad we get tired of it. We saw it during the O.J. trial. We've seen Jody Arias trial years ago. We've seen it, you know, and that's what the media does because of exactly what you mentioned earlier.
What we talked about, those two words that I mentioned, that would be ratings and money.
Absolutely.
the Robeson announcement today or yesterday that she will not be a candidate for governor. Dan, Jan may want to... Jan says, no, I don't want to say anything about it.
Every time I hear her name, I think about her last run for governor where she spent $15 million of her own money. And I know they have it, but that's still a lot of money. And so I was very surprised to hear it this early. About 3 weeks ago, I interviewed a guy named Hugh Lytle. He's the independent candidate, which is very rare in Arizona that you would have one for that office. And he leaves an impression. I will say that I pushed and pushed, and he finally said, okay, the one I'm most like, of all the candidates in the race is probably Karen Taylor Robeson. Mm-hmm. So this guy doesn't like being called a spoiler. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a spoiler because he leans right, not heavy, but if you're going to keep questioning him, he leans right. And so whoever is the Republican nominee is going to have to contend with the fact that he's going to take some votes from you.
Mm-hmm. You know, going back to the Guthrie disappearance, WIC communication is built on local news. This really puts local news, when you have reporters from the Sydney Herald and you have the London, London notorious Fleet Street gang descending on Tucson, Arizona. You've got the New York Post and some of the Eastern dailies. It presents a challenge for local media, doesn't it?
What we have is immediately I start calling people who I know live in Rio Rico, and they said, oh, yeah, it's over by the high school. That's where the house is, because we're trying to figure it out. But I will say that AP, New York Times, they were on a bigger level. They have real good sources, like within the FBI or whatever. But so they're very good at that, and it's fun to watch them work. But in the end, the best thing we can offer here is real local sources and an accurate reflection of the community, because we see people parachute in all the time, think they know. We had one person's post saying Rio Rico is a hotbed of illegal smuggling activity, and then I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. I'm just going to the coffee shop. And it's so funny, but we see that way too often in southern Arizona, but it's been really interesting to watch it.
And the Rio Rico connection, that this guy lived in Rio Rico, did fuel the conspiracy folks to really pick up on the whole border thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you get all this misinformation out there, and then it starts to be repeated. Mm-hmm. And now you know why I don't do personal social media. Yeah. It's worthless.
Right. Yeah. All right. Back to Jan Lesher. Jan, we've got the election, the ballots for RTA. The county is running the election, right?
Yes.
And there is some concerned about oversight. What oversight would there be with a mail-in election?
Well, I think there are drop boxes, and I think that tends to be where the controversy is. And I think a couple of things. This is the sort of the preliminary election, if you will, so people can watch this and see. We'll start seeing what the attacks are going to be coming into the next election cycles. But we had an issue in the special election, I believe it was, where people were dropping their ballots in drop boxes if they didn't want to mail them in, and there were a lot of ballots in it, and the ballot box was stuffed pretty good. You know, I don't like to use the word stuffing a ballot box, but you know, I mean, they were forcing into the box. Thank you, much better words. And so those became issues, and watching people getting the ballots out and making sure that there's cameras, you know, watching those boxes and things, that everything we do now is going to need a second and a third set of eyes confirming it, so that there's no possible opportunity for anything to go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Dan, any final thoughts?
Very quick question. The state trust land, 160 acres, is going to go up for sale. Copper World Mining Project wants it. The auction is in April. The county doesn't want this to happen. Copper World has jumped through all the hoops, got the permitting and everything. Why is the county still opposed to a business coming in to hire a lot of people?
20 seconds.
Our request was simply that they hold the sale until such time as the environmental impact analysis was done. Finish the study a little bit. Let us see if it's really going to go forward. Then go forward with the auction. But just flip the timing was our request.
All right, Jan Lesher, congratulations on your big announcement. But you'll find that when you wake up, when you're so-called retired, you'll say, how did I ever get up every day to go do this? My goodness. Anyway, thanks for coming in, Jan.
Thank you. Always good to see you both.
Sessions with you, certainly, while you're still the county administrator. All right, Dan, good luck to you, and as you navigate the local news waters of Green Valley and Rio Rico and the Nogales International.
It's been a busy year already.
I know.
We're only in February.
All right. Buckmaster Show continues with Weekend Watch 101.7 The Drive. We'll hear from the legendary Ken Carr right after this.
Check your mailbox for your Pima County ballot to consider Props 418 and 419 for regional transportation improvements and funding for the next 20 years. The proposed RTA Next Plan and funding will fix streets with expansions, repaving, bicycle, pedestrian, and transit upgrades to improve safety for all transportation users. You will continue to pay the same tax rate as you are now if both props are approved. Ballot should be mailed no later than March 3rd to arrive by March 10th. For more plan or election info, visit RTANext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
This is Bill Buckmaster, Friday, February 20th at noon. Arizona Daily Star columnist Tim Steller and I talk with Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva. Then Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. Somebody called Baby Queen taking us into Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's always a good time to take a road trip. Ken Carr's with us from 101.7 The Drive, and it's only about Ken, do it in about 3.5 hours, depending on where you're leaving from the Tucson area to the Land of Enchantment, to Silver City in Grant County. A fun place to do a weekend getaway, or if you got time off during the week, road trip. But speaking of weekend, what's going on this weekend, Mr. Ken Carr?
Well, as usual, there's lots of things going on around Tucson. So Valentine's Day is tomorrow, as you know.
Oh, really?
Okay. And so I did look this up because one of the places that's famous for Valentine's dinners is Waffle House.
What?
Waffle House.
So Waffle House?
At about 200 locations around the country. They turn it into candlelight dinners, and you can have it smothered and covered with candles and fancy tablecloths. But it turns out none of the Tucson locations are doing it. The closest one's in Mesa on McKillop's Road. So I'm kind of disappointed, but there's lots of other wonderful.
Some of the Waffle Houses do like a formal dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a beautiful
waffles
thing.
Waffles is always on the menu. All right.
Waffle. When you think love, you think waffles, don't you?
Yeah. Right.
All right. Some other serious things. The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show. This is the last weekend for it. The big show happening through Sunday at the Tucson Convention Center.
The granddaddy of all the gem and mineral shows.
And it's been another fantastic few weeks and beautiful weather for people who've come to town. Thank you for visiting Tucson. Also, the Renaissance Festival continues this weekend. In each east of Apache Junction up on U.S. Highway 60. And, of course, the theater and the circus and the arts and crafts fair and jousting and all of that. Mm-hmm. Chalk Block Party at the Children's Museum. That's happening tomorrow from 9 until 1. And they've got chalk for you. Come out at all ages. So if you're artistic, you can make cool little designs on the sidewalks right on 6th Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Real quickly.
And it's President's Day weekend. Some of you get a three-day weekend. Enjoy that. Maybe do some barbecuing. It's rainy today, but it's going to be beautiful tomorrow and Sunday.
Ken Carr from 101.7 The Drive. Thank you, Ken. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks to Brendan Kraft behind the glass. Everybody, have a great Valentine's Day.